Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and was ordained a minister in 2000. Since 2012, he's been the senior pastor of Detroit Unity Temple. In 2007, his 22-year-old daughter, Morgan, was killed by a drunk driver, and he publicly forgave this young man during the court hearing. In 2016, he had a brain aneurysm, was in a coma for 4 months, and then a miracle happened. The author of The Courage to Conquer Fear and Spiritual Waters is named Pastor Gregory Geis. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Pastor Gregory Geis, who since 2012 has been the senior pastor of Detroit Unity Temple. Pastor, welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to be here. It truly is a blessed day. I want to just say thank you. And that is coming from my heart.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer tonight?
Well, first of all, to all your listeners and to you and to anyone who may be in this area, I'd like to say, let me begin by simply saying thank you. And, you know, prayer is a wonderful thing because prayer is something that goes out to everyone. So regardless of your faith or your orientation to religion, let me begin by saying, may that kind, wonderful, blessed spirit of life, may it continuously bless us as we move into this holiday season. May it touch our heart where we may find peace, regardless of our faith, that peace that touches all understanding, a peace that blesses us, so we may go forward to increase our understanding of the God as we may know it. May we lift ourselves up to touch one another, to create a greater humanity for all. For truly we know that there's only one presence and one power active in our life, and that is God the good, omnipotent. So we say thank you for this moment in life, for truly we know that God is blessing all of us right now, right here, in every kind of ways we can imagine. For we know that God is good all the time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Oh, well, first of all, I can give honor to that. You know, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, but I was one of those individuals that had polio as a child, roughly when I was around 4 or 5 years old. So I learned prayer at a very early age. When I was about 4, I was found out I had polio, and I was in Herman Kiefer Hospital. I was one of those young kids that was, as I can barely remember, being in one of those chambers, you know, for children. But I was told by my mother, I always remember this affirmation, for I am one with the universal life forces flowing through my mind and my body, bringing me new life and energy. Nothing can come to me but good. My mother would come into the hospital and rub me down with oil. And I remember a little boy next to me. I remember when he died, actually. And they were very concerned because the polio was all constricted within my chest area, my muscles there. And so it was touch and go. But I came out of it somewhat physically limited. And I grew up at that particular time, some would say, just trying to recover from polio. I came from a family of 6. I was the 4th son, the 4th child, with 2 younger sisters and 3 older brothers. And my brothers never allowed me to use polio as an excuse. So they always encouraged me to always try, always to get better. And I might have been one of those earlier Forrest Gump individuals trying to play sports. But I had an attitude that I would always keep trying harder, and I had to hustle harder, I had to play harder, I had to learn how to think on sports. My brothers always pushed me, no matter what the situation was.
What was the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what was the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
The biggest thing I learned from Mother was to always remember prayer in your life. From my father, to never give up, and to always remember to go forward and to believe in yourself. My father died at the age when I was about 12. My mother died later, but my mother was the spiritual influence in my life. And my father was just an individual who I saw who had a strong work ethics. You know, he was always able to find work, no matter he had his own construction company, his own fish company. He was just one of those independent entrepreneurs who believed that he would do whatever it would take for his family. His father, Rufus Charles Geist, down in Birmingham, Alabama, actually worked with Dr. Martin Luther King when he came through. He was a minister in Birmingham, Alabama, actually started the first African-American church in Homewood, Alabama. So I later found that out later in my life after I became a minister. So that was a very interesting, inspirational thought.
You got a degree from Kentucky State University. You become a counselor, teacher, social worker. Then in 2000, you decide to become a minister. Why?
Yeah. Well, I was always a community activist, always working with young people. When John Sally, myself, was here in Detroit, I was teaching at St. Teresa. And there at St. Teresa, members of the young boys, well, let's say a group where when young boys incorporated were terrorizing the area of Joy Road and Dexter, I was teaching at St. Teresa. And they came into our school and jumped on some of our students. I never forgot that. So from that point, Father Bob Moran threw me the keys and said, let's do something about it, because we informed him that that particular time, a lot of our young men in the neighborhood didn't want to join the gang. So we opened up St. Teresa and created an after-school program, basketball court, St. Teresa's Family Enrichment Program, later called St. Teresa's Family Development Program, which led to Be the Best That You Can Be. John Sally of the Detroit Pistons saw that program and got involved with us, which led me to being very much involved in community activists. And then I saw Father Bob Moran, where he was very much involved in the community. And eventually, my minister at Detroit Unity Temple asked me if I ever thought about being involved in ministry. And it just seemed like a natural flow, because I was always actively involved in community, working with young people. And, you know, when you're working with young people, you find yourself always preaching and always ministering. Somewhere, young kids used to always say, Mr. Geist, would you please quit preaching to me? And that seemed to be a natural fit. My mother prophesied it, but I never thought it was going to be, because I always saw myself as a teacher and as a activist in the community.
We're talking to Pastor Gregory Geist, the senior pastor of Detroit Unity Temple. When we come back, we're going to ask him about Unity's founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore.
Okay.
And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Pastor Gregory Geist, the author of The Courage to Conquer Fear and Spiritual Waters. Pastor, Unity's founders in 1890, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. Tell us about Unity.
Well, Unity was an organization built on what is called New Thought. It's truly based on Christian principles. They strongly believe in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Charles and Myrtle also built it around prayer. Myrtle Fillmore saw herself where she really saw prayer as a possibility, not a possibility, a reality, that she was able to use prayer in the healing of her tuberculosis. But Charles, who was also a very strong businessman, realized they wanted an alternative. It didn't start out to provide, actually, to build churches, start off with what they call truth centers and working with people around prayer. It was so many people in that time period who wanted something called prayer to help them overcome illnesses. So they created what was called Silent Unity. And it developed what later became just a whole effort, a whole movement around helping people. And to this very day, Silent Unity is still one of the foundations around Unity, where someone who needed prayer can actually call a prayer line and receive prayer for whatever they may be going through, whatever conditions. And, you know, that whole idea that Charles Fillmore saw, they built a wonderful foundation in Lee's Summit in Kansas, in Missouri, rather, Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Then another real famous, Eric Butterworth.
Oh, my man. Eric Butterworth was actually our church, Detroit Unity Temple. He wasn't the founder, but he was an individual that took our church. And Eric Butterworth wrote a wonderful book called Discover the Power Within You. And in that particular book, and he wrote many books, he was one of the inspirational leaders of Unity itself. And he was a tremendous writer and an individual that rocketed Unity into the efforts. And as a matter of fact, one of the strongest individuals was a poet, James Philip Dillard, Dillard Freeman. And he wrote a poem that actually went up in space in 1968. And it's called The Prayer of Protection. One of the astronauts took it up into space.
Currently, other than yourself, one of the most famous Unity ministers is Marianne Williamson, who's running for president. She was here.
Yes.
And author of 10 books. And she got a set of books called A Course in Miracles.
Yeah. Well, A Course in Miracles is not necessarily Unity. It's another spiritual principle set of values. But she, that was her foundation. She was a Course in Miracles minister. She also headed up, as you know, Renaissance Unity. And she was, you know, as you know, she's currently a presidential candidate. And she was over Renaissance, and she did do a town hall meeting at Detroit Unity Temple. A Course in Miracles is a whole nother set of spiritual values, not necessarily connected to Unity directly, but it's, they have their own values. And it's a wonderful teaching for those who follow A Course in Miracles.
God gave you two miracles.
Oh, yeah.
And one was named Morgan Geis.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about Morgan Geis.
Thank you for mentioning her. For those who are listening, Morgan Geis was my second daughter. And for those who may not know and those who are listening, she, in 2007, she was killed by a drunk driver in Florida. And during that time period, it was such a tremendous tragedy for me because and my entire family. My wife, Francine Geis, and her mother, you know, she went down to Panama City, Florida on spring break. She was taking a friend of hers who had been date raped at Michigan State, and they went down for spring break. And during that time period while she was down there, a drunk driver was just, she was parked with three other friends. And while just being parked, this drunk driver came around the road and hit two other vehicles and crashed into them. And she was, it was a situation where she was killed instantly, and one young lady was paralyzed, and the other two was hurt badly. And during that time period, I had to receive a call from a parent who told me to call down to Panama City and call the police department, and they transferred me to the morgue. And at that particular time, when they transferred me to the morgue, my heart dropped because they asked me if I can identify her body parts or any distinguished marks on her body. And Morgan had a mole on her cheek. And when they confirmed what I dreaded, my voice dropped. I had no voice. The phone dropped. But I had to gather myself and began to figure out how to take care of the challenges that lay before us. Contacted a friend of mine who was in the funeral business, and he made sure we can get the body back up here. I had to contact her mother, her sister, the family members, and that preceded a long walk to the point of just dealing with what was in front of us as a family. And she was graduating from Purdue. She was a singer. She had a job in front of her. She was an excellent presence in life. She was a member of Mosaic Youth Theater at one time. She had did tremendous work at Purdue, and she was a part of their theater there. It was just a challenge.
March 16th, 2007, she was 22. The driver, drunk, Jonathan Robbins from
yes.
Panama City. And then there's a court hearing.
Yes. Oh.
For this young Jonathan Robbins.
Yeah.
And
I
were there.
I was standing outside the courthouse. And as I was standing outside the courthouse, I see a gathering of people coming towards the door. And I sense that this was that moment. One of his family members came up and just held my hand because they must have sensed who I was. Jonathan came up and he glanced at me, and he goes inside, and his father, who I assume was his father, held my hand. And we go inside the courthouse, and we proceeded to go through the trial. And at that particular time, you come to that moment when our family or members of my family could make those final remarks and speak to him. And we showed a video of Morgan singing a song by Whitney Houston called Step by Step. And Morgan, as she sang this song, it was touching because everyone in the courthouse was, you could see the tears in their eyes. And it was time for me to speak, and I looked Jonathan in the eye. Prior to that, I didn't know what I was going to say. I had had rage of energy. I didn't know if I was going to just cuss him out or just so much emotion was flowing through me. But at that particular time, I looked in his eyes, and everything I could ever imagine all of a sudden was wiped away because I flowed back to the point when I was 21. Every stupid, unimaginable thing that I ever did when I was 21 touched me. You know, sometimes we talk about forgiveness, and you never realize the art of forgiveness is so powerful. Because at that very moment, God must have touched me. Because right there and right then, I felt the power of forgiveness. I looked at him and I realized that his mistake, that I could have been in that same spot. Many times when I was driving, I found myself nodding at the wheel. Or many times when all of a sudden I looked up and somewhere by the grace of God, I was able to hit the pedal and prevent myself from having an accident. And all of a sudden I saw myself that for whatever reason, I'm going to forgive you, and as I told him, and I looked him in the eyes, and I said, but you have to make something out of your life. You can't bring my daughter back, but you have to do something with your life. And I forgave him, because I know that with the power of forgiveness, there's something great in that when you can let it go. And so I forgave this young man. I forgave him for the mistake he made, and it allowed me to realize that so often, many of us make a mistake. We can't change what we do, but I realized that it's something that I can give to him. So from that moment on, he started writing me letters from inside the prison. He was raped, he was beaten, and I had a chance to go down to his community with a program that was there and speak on forgiveness. But it helped me to be lifted up, helped me understand that we can talk about spiritual principles and we can talk about the art of forgiveness. But until you have to forgive something or someone for what you have had taken away, you can't really understand the depth of that word forgiveness until you move and have to deal with it. But, you know, I still have flashbacks to that point.
That was Morgan Geist performing in the background a portion of Step by Step. And now there's a scholarship in Nigeria named after Morgan Geist.
Oh, I'm so grateful that in Nigeria, because I visited Nigeria, was made a chief over there in a place called Ohafia. And in that community, they had heard of what happened, and they took it upon themselves to create a scholarship called the Morgan Geist Scholarship Fund that goes to young girls who goes to school, because in certain parts of Nigeria, the juju man tells men who have HIV or an AIDS that the only way that they can get rid of AIDS is by having sex with a virgin. So they seek out to rape a virgin in order to cure their AIDS. And so a lot of young girls will shave their heads to look like boys because they don't have the same type of public education. So we at Detroit Unity Temple and other churches, program called Building Bridges, we send funds over there to Nigeria to allow these young girls to go to school, and they establish the churches in Nigeria on behalf of Morgan Geist, what is called a Morgan Geist Scholarship Fund, so that these young girls in Nigeria can go to school.
If you want to learn more, www.detroitunitytemple.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Pastor Gregory Geist, who in 2008... the Detroit News named him one of its Michiganians of the Year, along with Coach Al Fracassa, Bob Lutz, Luana Simon, Robert Thompson, Gretchen Vallade, Kim Worthy. That was tall cotton. That is tall cotton.
I was humbled by it to be there.
Okay, you were also humbled in 2012. You become senior pastor of Detroit Unity Temple. Tell us about Detroit Unity Temple.
Detroit Unity Temple was actually founded in 1916, and it was founded by a wonderful woman, by Mary, and she built that building, but it was a collection of individuals who believed in the principle of providing a wonderful place. It was actually in the Detroit Institute of Arts for many years, and it went on to develop a wonderful program, spiritual program. And when Eric Butterworth was there, it had close to 2,000 members going there at one time. And it was a place that birthed several other churches, and it strongly believed in building a strong community program. And you find that some of the tremendous body of individuals were part of Detroit Unity Temple right in the Palmer Park community at one time, where it was built this wonderful, you say, building right there, white marbles right in Palmer Park area, where a lot of people came through there and built wonderful foundations and growth.
It's just off 6 Mile, and it's one block west of Woodward, and it's in Palmer Park.
Yes.
Tell us about Palmer Park today.
Oh, Palmer Park today is being totally redeveloped. I'm a part of the People for Palmer Park movement. So if you were to go to Palmer Park today and what's taking place there, People for Palmer Park, let me begin with the redevelopment of the log cabin. The log cabin has been totally redefined, redeveloped. The interior is now being restored. Many people would see that log cabin, and when the People for Palmer Park went in there, you had raccoons and animals. All that has been cleared out. Now it's a place where people are getting married inside the log cabin. We have stained glass windows all inside of it. And then I have to then go to the redevelopment of the tennis courts. The tennis courts have been restored, and it's a place where young people are playing tennis that received a national award for the development of these young tennis players. A young lady by Lee, and who's a part of that, have over 100 kids learning how to play tennis. Then you can swing it around where there's a community garden that has opened up, where over these families are now involved in a community garden that's taking place, where people are growing natural garden beds for the community to come in. They can rent pots. They have Winterfest that's going to take place very recently, where people have a Winterfest, have a Spring Fest. We have also got involved with being a part of so much that's taking place and transforming the entire park right there, People for Palmer Park.
You're not running for mayor, are you, Pastor? Okay.
No.
March 14th, 2016. What happened?
Wow. You are truly a man to bring out the truth. March 14th, I was at home by myself. You know, for years I used to suffer with migraine headaches, so I had not had one in a while. I thought I was having a migraine headache probably about a week before then. I go to the doctor, he says, let's increase your migraine headache medicine. But that morning, my wife was gone, and I felt a pain I never felt before. And at that particular time, as I get up in the morning, I wake up and I had a pain I never felt before. And all of a sudden, I reached for my phone to grab, to call my wife, and she realized that my voice was not the same, because I was seemed to be screaming into the phone. And I was able to call her twice, and she dialed 911, and I was gone. The Farmington Hills police came and had to literally kick my door in, because I was having a brain aneurysm, and I collapsed at that particular time period. From what my wife tell me, my dog was between myself and the police, who had to break the door down to get to me. My wife arrived at the same time. And from what she has told me, I was being rushed to West Bloomfield Henry Ford Hospital, because the aneurysm, it had burst and the blood was rushing in. They got me there to the hospital, and they was able to clip it and rush me down to right down the street to Henry Ford Hospital. And the ambulance was blasting. And as you know, when you have a brain aneurysm, they discover not just one, they discover three other ones. And the blood was pouring, and they had the surgery team ready, and they performed a cranial brain surgery on me right off the bat. And I was unconscious for the next 4 weeks.
But you saw the light.
Oh, listen, man. When I was unconscious for 4 weeks, what they told my wife was They wasn't sure because seconds mattered. And as you know, as blood is rushing into your brain, they wasn't sure that if I survive or if I didn't, if I did survive, what would be left of the state of my brain. They wasn't sure if I would make it, and they said, it's up to God. And my wife was there with me that whole time. I remember when I was in that particular state, I remember my daughter, who you spoke about, her presence met me in that state. And it didn't seem like 4 weeks. It seemed like just a brief moment. But I did see, as some people describe, that light that looked like an illuminated light. To me, it felt like I had crossed over. When I was in that moment with my daughter and that wonderful, peaceful, divine presence of an experience. But then all of a sudden, I remember when I merged back into my body. I remember coming into my body, and there in that time period, coming back into my body, I was discovered I had a stroke at the same time that I had the brain aneurysm. I could not lift my left arm no more than an inch away from me. I couldn't walk. I had to learn how to speak all of a sudden. I had to learn how to be fed. I had a trach in my throat. I had a feeding tube in my side. I was laid up in a hospital bed. And I'm awakening to all these challenges before me. And my wife is telling me as I come coming out of this new life that now I'm in this hospital with learning to have to relive, learning how to have someone take me through speech therapy, having someone go through an experience telling me that I may not be able to walk like I did. I had to take my left arm and I would put a pin in it. By training, I'm a psychotherapist. I knew that the brain was reforming itself. So I made sure that the pathways, neural pathways, I had to become very concerned. Everything I learned in Unity about visualization, about knowing that thoughts held in mind produce after their kind, I quickly began to realize that I'm not going to let the brain aneurysm redefine me. The things I learned when I had polio, the affirmation that I am one with the universal life forces flowing through my mind and my body, bringing me new life and energy. Nothing can come to me but good. My wife was there to make sure that she would bring me in puzzles. Thank God for my wife. Bless her. I truly appreciated her because she made sure that no one who had a negative attitude would be able to come and see me because she didn't want that energy to come there. And through her, I have to give her all the credit because she was there with me through the entire process to make sure that I would go through. And it was one of those journeys of life that I wouldn't want anyone to go through. But immediately in that space, when I was felt like on the other side, I discovered something, that the body is truly a temple, and it is not who we are, it's what we're utilizing as we're in this space. I recognize that the consciousness is who we are, that blessed experience. When they talk about we're made in the image of God, that is what is inside of us, that great I am. I had to make that separation in order not to get trapped into what the aneurysm was about. If I saw that I was the aneurysm, that the aneurysm was what trapped me, then I would get trapped in all the experiences. So I made sure that what the body went through is not who I am. That's what the body went through. So I can be able to work with that aspect.
We're talking to Pastor Gregory Geis. And we were brought together by highfalutin's Alexander Zonchik. And Alexander's going to be performing holiday concert at Detroit Unity Temple on Wednesday, December 4th, 7 p.m. If you want to learn more, www.detroitunitytemple.com. He's a world-class flautist. He's a showman.
He's an entertainer. Absolutely.
And he ain't got no negative thoughts when he performs. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Brasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Pastor Gregory Geis, the author of The Courage to Conquer Fear and Spiritual Waters. In The Courage to Conquer Fear, Pastor, you have seven spiritual keys. The sixth one, know and declare that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Please.
Well, too often in this world, people are driven by fear. Too often, it is fear that pushes people to run from each other, the fear of the differences that we have with each other, of not knowing. If you look at the world today, it's a world where fear is that stops us from getting to know one another. It's fear that, if you look at what really two emotions that exist in this world, it's love and fear. Because it's the fear that really leads to hatred. And it's that fear that has been the blockage from allowing us not to love one another because we see our differences. Fear has been what has been driving people to keep us away. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of the power of love and of a sound mind. If we recognize what has moved us, it was love that Jesus talked about when he came into this world. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Love is what Gandhi talked about. Love is what Martin Luther King spoke about. Love is what make a person do the great things in life that move towards saving a person's effort to go forward. The power of love in a sound mind is when it says in the Bible, have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Love is a tremendous element that made America great. It was our forefathers that came over here and pulled this country together through the power of love. You see, fear is what was trying to break us up. Right now, when we began to realize that it's love is an energy that actually bring things together, fear expels and repels things. Fear makes people move away from each other. But when you have love, it brings people together in such a wonderful, cohesive relationship. It's what young people today in this very world, even when we went back to our days, it was love that was trying to bring people together. No matter what takes place around the world, even when we go back to Dionne Warwick, when she was singing that great song, what the world needs now is love. Love has the vibrational frequency of pulling people together, that holds it together like a magnetic energy, a vibrational frequency.
On your wall, you've got a quote from the great prophet, Jimi Hendrix. Quote, when the power of love overcomes the love for power, the world will know peace.
Absolutely.
Also on your wall, you've got all kind of honors, etc. But you have only one Bible verse on that wall. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
You know,
why that verse?
Because it's a long journey in our life. And when we hope in the Lord and we hold that hope, that faith, it makes us realize that no matter what we are going through, the challenges, we know that we will continuously soar. You know, sometimes people can become discouraged and depressed. They can look at the political issues in the world today, and it seems to depress them. But when we know that there's a light at the end, when we know that no matter what's taking place, that God will always renew, because the good in this world will always outweigh whatever we think is the tragedies or the tragic. No matter what seem to be the difficult moments, there's always something good that's right behind it. No matter what's, even in the moments of Katrina or the tragedies, if we look deep enough, we'll see the good. And when we soar on the wings like eagles, they will not run, they will not grow weary, but they will not walk, and they will not be faint. We know there's a power inside of us, that the greatness that lies within us is greater than any challenges we can ever face.
If you want to learn more, www.DetroitUnityTemple.com. Pastor, if there's a listener tonight that says, Greg, with all due respect, God sure isn't in my life now.
What would I tell them? I would say the mere fact that you're breathing, the mere fact that you can look up and see a sun, that you are waking up today, take a moment and just think about your body. Your body has over 73 trillion cells in it, the most magnificent creation that was ever created. You know, you breathe, you have such a magnificent presence already there. Sometimes we look outside instead of looking inside. You see, Jesus once said the kingdom of heaven is within us. And our magnificence of who we are, the very fact that when we become still, we can just take a moment to realize that that presence of God, if we're looking for some Zeus type of character, we're looking for that wrong place. But if we think about the essence of a flower, we think about the essence of just a moment, a sunrise, then we think about just a breath and just take it in and just realize that if you're standing on a cliff and you're looking out and you see the beauty of a day, that's God. If you go into a forestry, you're standing by the ocean and you feel the waves coming in at you, that's God. Or if you take a deep breath. But I tell you something, if you're with a person and you're watching a child being born, that's God. If you're there where I was with a brain aneurysm and you awaken from being unconscious for 4 weeks, that was God. If you just hear a child singing a beautiful song and you're moved by it, that was God. If you just find just a time period, just seeing the rejoicing of a moment when two people embrace when they haven't seen each other, that's God. You see, God is all around us. Sometimes I think we look at the wrong place, the wrong day. Because if you woke up that morning and you realize how many people didn't wake up, and you just take a time period to say, wow, that's mm-hmm. God. Because God is everywhere present. In that very moment you took that breath, that was God.
As our time winds down together this evening, can you lead us in the closing prayer, please?
I would just like to say that there's a scripture that says simply, give thanks for everything around you. You know, dear Holy Spirit, oh gracious God, I'd like to say thank you to this listening audience. And as we move towards this moment of Thanksgiving, may each and every person find a blessing in their day. And giving thanks for their families. May they find a way to look around them and see a blessing in the things that they have. And may they find that blessing in just the willingness to share it with one another. For truly God has blessed us, blessed all of us, in just the presence with one another. May we give thanks to our country, this world, this community, and the presence of knowing that with one another we can grow and find a greater place to be. For we find that presence in knowing that each one of us share in the beauty of a day. In just the moment of a morning. But we give thanks right now for that beauty that lies within all of us. For indeed, this day is the day that God has made. And we simply say, thank you, God, for the beauty of this day. Amen.
And thank you, God, for Pastor Gregory Geis, who's a great salesman and a great soldier for you. Keep it up. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.